Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Michelle Aubin, host of Awaken to Healing Radio Show. And the purpose of this show is to introduce you to people that discuss topics related to healing, expanded consciousness, and expanded possibilities. And I'm so happy today to have our guest, Michelle Infinity. I came across an article she wrote on self-love, and it was very intriguing to me because I have on my website a self-love kit, and I believe very strongly in promoting this process and this ideas related to how we can all love ourselves more. So I'm going to introduce Michelle, and she will say a little bit about herself and what she does, and we'll just take that as a jumping off point. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. And I know you have a lot to offer people and a lot of inspiration, and I know that anyone listening to this is in the right place if they want to be inspired. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and the article and your point of view, and just we'll take it from there.
Sure. Just to cut right to the heart, the deepest point of view that I have is that we're here to heal the earth, and that it's really important that we walk in integrity. In the most my journey is a journey of healing and healing myself in order so that I can heal the world. And I feel like there's a collection of us on the earth that feel the same way, like you finding me and us being in that work. And so there's a collective happening, a collective shift happening, where we're getting to meet like-minded souls who are on the same journey. And my archetype is that of a guide, where I get to actually take people from where they are on their journey and move them a little bit closer to their own truth, their own integrity, their own heart space. And that's a gift that I share through many modalities. I do it through meditations and teaching and writing articles. And everything has this vibrational potency through it, but it's really all about connecting to love, and which is really about the integrity of our souls. So my work, Infinite Everything and Michelle Infinity, is about that bridge, that connection through all things that is love, that is infinite love. You could call it bhakti yoga consciousness, universal consciousness, which that's what I'm all about.
What is, say more about bhakti yoga. I'm not sure I know what that refers to.
Yeah, it's the yoga of love and devotion, just to define it in English words. And Krishna Das, he leads mantra songs, and Ram Das too has been a teacher that's like of the utmost influence, and they have a guru because it's an actual yoga lineage, Neem Karoli Baba. So the Love Server Member Foundation and Hanuman, these are all archetypes that lead to, again, this oneness consciousness. So if you take it out of the lineage of yoga, it really, the essence is love, is pure and simple, is love. But bhakti yoga has specific practices that lead you to that place, like mantra chanting, and I do those practices, and I share those practices with people.
What has your journey been like to get to a place of self-love, and was the bhakti yoga the pathway that you walked to get there?
I would say yes, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. My mom gave me Be Here Now when I was 15 years old, which is a book that I would recommend everybody. Have you seen that book?
You know, I came across that book maybe when I was 19, and I thought it was really mind-blowing. I loved it.
It opens it's the best smack on the face and, like, blows open your heart. It's very artistic, and it's very of what our souls know to be true and what society in the world does not say truth is. So it's like it's a good contrast. It's a good teacher through the contrast of what that is. So it shows you what you've always known in your heart to be true, which I feel like I am gifted, my work does the same. I am privileged to do the same thing. It's just to show people the mirror of what they know already.
What I loved about the book was that it was not like a densely packed intellectual discourse. It was big, bold print on each page, and it was like I feel like I would turn the page and get like a message of real simple clarity, and it was all about like the present moment. And I, to be very honest, I don't really think I understood beyond intellectual, like what the book was trying to show me, until a few years ago when I started actually meditating. And since I've started in my 40s, right, since I've started meditating, those words have come back to me about the present moment, and I go, oh, I get it. Like, like beyond the intellect, I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like to be present. So it's just funny when things in our lives, you know, they show up and we don't always assimilate them right away, but they do serve a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. That reminds me of people reading my article, the article I wrote on unconditional self-love. Several people commented under the article, and one of my friends told me, like, yesterday, he's like, I would have to read that several times. And I have to read it several times as well. It's because the world is not set up the way to reflect the inner wisdom at this moment. And that's why we are on this path of reminding. And Ram Dass all the time, he says, like, I'm not here to tell you anything you don't know. And we have to keep telling each other this so we remember who we are, how we remember, we all come back to our essence. And it's just the duality of the world that it is, it's not, yeah, and it's the dance. And it gives us something to do. That's another thing, is that I feel creation, it gives us purpose to discover that part.
Well, that's an interesting idea. It gives us something to do, to remember who we are, who we already are, that we forgot about. Like, that's, I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm. Like a mystery search or hunt or whatever they call that. A scavenger hunt?
Right.
Like a mystery hunt better.
Which takes away, which is a nice way to think about it, because it takes away the sense of like self-criticism that I used to feel, like, why don't I get it yet? Or I don't feel that way anymore, but because I've learned not to judge myself regardless of what I'm feeling. But, you know, just to piggyback on what you said about your friend with the article, and I was having a similar conversation with someone yesterday, and she was kind of beating herself up about something, and she was like, why do I have a hard time with this? You know, why don't I remember to love myself? And so sometimes it's so easy to get caught in that trap of, why aren't I more evolved? Why aren't I more loving to myself? Which is, you know, I was just coaching her to say, love the part of you that doesn't understand why you don't love yourself more. Or like, the answer is love. It's not intellect. It's not analyzing. It's love the part of yourself that's having a hard time right now with this. I don't know what you think of that.
No, it totally resonates with me, because I was talking to my mom, and it's just that there's sometimes we can't we have to allow there to be a mystery in our lives. And that was the truth that came to me. I had a lot of things, and you probably too. The summer was really transformational for me, where a lot of things that I was attached to kind of fell away, which is a blessing. But when you're going through it, you feel like it's a curse. You feel like, wow, I'm not able to understand it intellectually, just like you're saying. And then you have to allow yourself that freedom of just letting go and letting God, as they say. You're saying, this to totally be cliche, but you have to really trust. It's an exercise of trust that I don't grasp it intellectually, but I can see, I have faith that there's going to be a positive outcome. Like, and that, even at the same time, it's like, what I'm being reminded of right now is that when we have to remember the essence of who you are, and all of that other, those things in your mind, they just cloud your, you are already who you are, you're already your essence. I don't know. I'm losing my thoughts, but I'm trying to combine two things that I thought of while you were speaking.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because it's so hard to it is hard to talk about intellectually on with words in some way, because the words don't give us the experience of it. And
sometimes they do, but not all the time.
Oh, okay. So maybe sometimes they do. You're right. But I recall this summer for me was actually a peaceful summer, and one I went through all of the other stuff that you mentioned in the past couple of years, and I'm sort of coming out of that cycle of a lot of things leaving that, you know, aren't in alignment. And this summer for me was just all about accepting every aspect of myself. And so it's been very freeing energetically and relaxing, like relaxing into things, if that makes any sense. But I remember what it was like to be on the other side of this and of this self-acceptance. And whenever anybody would talk about self-love or peace or acceptance of who we are, I would be like, what are they talking about? Of course I love myself. Or what are they talking about? Like, who else would I be, right? So this, I don't know, you know what I'm getting at? Like, when you're on the other end of it, it's like talking about how to ride a bicycle versus riding a bicycle.
Yeah. Well, I had a conversation with a friend, his name is David, and he and I were talking about self-love like a year ago, and he brought up to me, it's amazing that I don't know how to love myself. And the concept of acknowledging, that's like a humbling beginning to say, like, I actually don't understand. And if, even when I think I'm practicing it, I'm not really there. I feel like I have to say this, so I'm going to kind of go back to the point that I was trying to make before. We'll see how it comes out. We are never not love. And I think that is, we are already like what we're seeking out in the world. We're already it. The false identification, the ego identification, is that we're not. And it's the revelation of the alignment to that. I feel that is the most powerful. That's the acceptance. That's the gentleness. That is being loving, is just knowing that you already are it. And wherever we are on the journey, no matter what, because our essence in truth is that. That's what I'm trying to say. And that is hard to articulate, because you can't just poof and then everybody absorbs it and feels it, because for whatever reason, we're not gifted that. That's a state of higher awareness that we get glimpses of, that we're brought into through mantra practice, through meditation, right? You get to see, like, everything is okay. But that self-love, that acceptance, that's there all the time.
I love that. And I love that you shared the story of your friend David. I guess that's what I was trying to bring into the conversation, is that it is okay to get to that place of saying, I don't know how to do this or feel this, is a profound place to begin. So I love that you shared that. And so would you say this process of remembering that we are love, or getting to that place where we acknowledge it, is about like removing the layers, or what is it when we do mantra practice or meditation? Are we releasing misconceptions? What is happening when we do that?
So I can relate it to the bodies that we have. We have these energy centers in our bodies, but we also have, like, the chakra system, a lot of people are familiar with. And we also have the bodies, the koshas, which are sheets, which is like a multi-dimensional layer of we have our physical body, we have our mental body and our emotional body, our higher wisdom body, and then we have our bliss body, which in my opinion, or my grasp of consciousness, is like a thread, has a thread to our soul, which is actually in a way off planet. It is connected closer to the infinite, right? So we have to pierce the veil of these bodies, these layers, from the physical, going through physical tension, like, oh, my neck hurts, mental tension, right? Oh, I have to do that later. Emotional tension of like, oh, I'm really sad because of something about my family, you know, that's deep within us. And then from practices of yoga, singing, the heaviness release from those, it's a purification. And that's so bhakti yoga, is all of these processes purify our energetic being and our physical being, our emotional, mental being, and allow us to access that wisdom, that bliss that is in us all the time.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with all of that. So, I mean, I've read about yoga. I'm not a yoga practitioner, but are these layers of the body energetically that you described, is that similar to the aura? Is that I'm familiar with chakras, but are these layers what people refer to when they talk about the aura?
Yes, definitely. The aura and the light body, they call it. The light body is the pranayama kosha, which is the energetic body, and the mental, emotional, and the higher wisdom body is the light body. I'm just going to throw this out there because it's cool. The light body, we don't take our physical body from incarnation to incarnation, but those three layers, mental, emotional, and wisdom, and of course the soul, but that is our vehicle for consciousness. So our consciousness in those three layers travels with us from lifetime to lifetime.
Okay, so I want to make sure I understand what you just said. So those three bodies, those energetic bodies, do travel with us as the vehicles of our consciousness.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
It tickles me.
So if we do these practices that you're talking about, it will release density in those bodies, and then in our next incarnation, will that affect our consciousness in that incarnation?
Well, not to totally go crazy on you, but time doesn't exist. Like, time is kind of infinite. So from a certain level, whatever you do to refine your vibration happens everywhere all at once.
Oh, yes. Okay, right. I was talking to a friend of mine about it doesn't listen to these types of shows or read about these types of things, and I was just kind of, I'm talking more about these things with other people, with everyone, just because it's, who I've emerged into. So I was talking to her and just off the cuff saying, well, you know, time is an illusion, and I'm assuming everyone gets that. And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, it's physics, you know, and I can't really explain it that well to her, but I just noticed myself. I was like, isn't this interesting that I'm just taking it for granted that everybody, you know, thinks this way? But I think there's a purpose in that, too, like that to wrap around to how you opened the conversation today and talking about healing the earth, healing concepts. I think that as we all open to certain ideas and talk about them more, they do become part of the collective understanding of how I see my role, even, you know, like that, having these conversations with people that aren't healers or listening to these radio shows, like it sort of normalizes these ideas, even though I'm not that articulate about it.
I think you are very much.
Oh, okay. All right.
And having a radio show is a dedication to communication in that way. Yeah, super bringing light for sure.
Thank you. I mean, I do think that certain people are drawn to this type of radio show, and that particular friend may not be one of those people, but that's okay. You know, the people that are drawn to this are seeking to expand and understand and open up. And that's okay. That's who I'm interested in sharing, you know, whoever's drawn to it. There's no need to force it.
It's a delicate, yeah, we have to let our audiences find ourselves. It's a dance. You put yourself out there. And there's a part of me that believes the way people choose to live their lives is different, but we all know what truth is, right? So whatever you do in your life or how you live your life is one thing, but everybody's trying to get to that source of peaceful, of that bliss. Like, everybody wants joy. Everybody wants ease. Everybody wants to be just relaxed, whether they know it and act that way or not.
Yeah, everybody wants to feel good.
Yeah.
And sometimes the only way they know how to do that is the way they were shown by others. And what I'm discovering is there's so many ways to feel good that are not about ingesting a substance or distracting myself with television or shopping. That's what I want to bring to people, is you can feel good in so many ways that we don't need, you know, the harmful way. And what it is on a deeper level, I don't necessarily, you know, go there with everyone to this deep level of the spiritual and the self-love piece, but ultimately that's what it is. There are loving ways to feel good that don't have all of these other ramifications. But I think you're right. People just want to feel peace. Yeah.
A really good idea is that when you practice a more mindful expression of what that is, then you are showing yourself self-love. I think that's a beautiful concept.
Yes, and I think what I'm trying to convey in that also is that there is no blame or judgment if we did not know how to do things differently up until the time that we knew how to do things differently, right? So there was a period where I was drinking too much, and I learned not to judge that. I did what I did because that's the skill I was taught or knew or was exposed to make myself feel better, help myself feel better, you know. And how could I do any differently if I didn't have other tools?
I feel called to also say that for those of us who do know better and who are repeating patterns in their lives, because that's something that I catch myself in a lot, is the why, you know, even when I do know better, why am I still making this choice? Why is this pattern still in my life? Why is this showing up in my outside world when I already have, feel like I've assimilated the lesson? That for me has been a practice of self-love, is to just let go of any judgment that is still there or wishing that I break on through. Like, just being like, just release me from it's just like, you know, breathe.
Yep.
Trust the process and let it all unfold. You know, and that's, it goes back to the mystery. It's like, you don't know why. And so that's something that really, and that, my essence of the article was that it's an opportunity now from that place to shift gears and you didn't choose the most spiritual thing. You didn't choose the highest wisdom consciousness, like, option. So now make that choice. Take a moment to reframe or evaluate or redirect your energy. There's a reroute. It's a rerouting opportunity to come back to center, to come back to yourself.
I like that you made this comment and that you felt called to make, because I didn't start meditating until my 40s, and I always thought of it. I always read about it. And then, you know, I know you don't really know a lot about my story, but just in a general sense, I was a holistic practitioner, and then I became ill and with fibromyalgia for, you know, a decade. I looked at my path when I was struggling, and I did not use those resources, even though I was trained hypnotist and energy healer, a lot of other things, until I had gone down the path of mainstream medicine, which only made things worse for me. And I had to go very far down that path of sort of this really dark place before I tapped into what I already had, this training and this interest in holistic methods, to trust them. And so part of me was like, why did it take you so long? Why, you had these at your disposal, and I started to be very gentle with myself in my healing. So I think that's a great point. It's like sometimes we do know better, and it's still okay. It's still love ourselves, even regardless of what choices we make and how long it takes. There is no judgment or timeline that we're being measured against. So for whatever reason, I don't know, I don't even really understand, but I have compassion for myself. So that's what's important.
Yeah, it's honoring the journey, too, because, again, like, we don't know the mystery, as intuitive as we are, we don't know the mysteries of the universe, and some, again, like, on the concept of giving us something to do on this planet is now you have that story, you went through the wounded healer process. That's an archetype that you, and same with myself, as much as I'm, like, there's a part of me that's resistant to that wounded healer title, you know? But I do see that there are, it might happen to all of us. It might happen to everybody who's not an ascended master. If you live on the earth, you learn wounds. It's almost like we learn them to heal them, especially, and I'm just making a declaration for those of us who come for the nurturing of the whole, for the collective, maybe. That's a concept that we should play with.
Well, I definitely learned things I would not have learned if I never went down that path. And clearly one of the things I've learned is to love myself even when I get distracted, you know, or even when it takes me an extra decade. You know, that's one of the learnings. And so that does help me have compassion for other people who struggle. So, you know, maybe there would have been a way to learn that compassion without doing that. But I look at the gifts of that journey, and there are so many of them that I didn't see at the time. But this term wounded healer, this is something I'm very familiar with, that archetype. And what is it about it that you resist? I'm just curious.
Let me take a moment to tune into that. What is it about that that I resist? The wounded healer. Yeah,
Is it the word wound? Like that you're wounded? That you're wounded?
Right. It contradicts the knowledge in truth that we're infinite, that we're whole, that we're beyond that. It seems finite, it seems mortal, it seems not of what I really know myself to be. I carry a wound. It's something you carry. There's baggage, there's a heaviness to it. Right?
Right.
And so it brings you down, and in that way, in the heaviness. And maybe one of my journeys and gifts as that I will, you know what they say about the shadow, about how you learn to make it, it's like your greatest asset, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, your ally, yeah.
Right, your ally, yeah. So maybe that is a part of that, is seeing that wound, that woundedness as strength, right? Our vulnerability is our greatest strength. And just saying that vulnerability over the last few years is something that I've had to really... had to absorb into my consciousness of what that is to be vulnerable and to be seen and to really just to really own and align with and make peace with that. May allow that to be a part of my journey, that I'm highly sensitive, and allow that to be a part of my sharing of myself as well, and that is okay. So I feel like those things are all tied together, and that it's a part of that shift in consciousness is how are you both at the same time and aligning to those, allowing yourself to be that duality? How am I a healer and at the same time wounded? How am I both sides, shadow and light, and being that in the world? And how do I make terms with that in my own self so I can teach others to do the same for themselves and emulate that? As mm-hmm.
Is there something about the word... The reason I bring this up is because I work with the concept in myself, in my mind, but I have not used that label. There's something about it that I don't, I have not embraced, like in terms of labeling it. But I think the concept does fit. And so I wonder if there's something in the phrase wounded healer that is not, do you feel that it's not present moment oriented? That it's like maybe bringing energy to a past trauma or experience.
It does feel that way. It does feel like you're bringing energy into more of what you would not want to focus on.
I mean, it's subtle because I think the concept is I never really teased it out until talking with you, but I think the concept might convey like experienced healer or healer who's been through the hard knocks of life, which would more imply like I've been through it, I've survived, I'm here now. But somehow like wounded healer almost is like fossilized,
like
I don't know the word wounded healer. It's really interesting because I've never really talked to anyone else who also hesitates to use that term, but yet you work with the archetype of it. So I'm not really sure what's going on with that, but I appreciate you bringing it up. I mean, it's interesting.
It'll give us because it'll give us to chew something to chew on in our own lives, because you know how that works. That
yes, something to chew on.
To also do that because it makes me want to read the archetype of Chiron more and or Chiron, I think, and the archetype of the wounded healer and that planet in my chart and all of those things. So I'm gonna study on that as well, and I'm sure it'll reveal itself to me as all lessons do when they show themselves. So I think that's a beautiful part when something gets revealed, and it's like, take a look at this. And then, and what's cool about that is that part that you mentioned about experience, like empowerment, like that's what all the healers, I think maybe ever, I'm not sure, but they have all I've gone through, and teachers definitely have gone through their own journey, and then they step into that and they say, I've been there. And that's how I do my work with the sessions. It's like everything synchronistically happens, and there's similarities. There's two people talking, just like you and I speaking now. You're like, I've done this and I do this, and there's a reflection there, and growth is assured.
Well, one of the archetypes that just popped into my mind is the archetype of the hero, the guy that said follow your bliss, Joseph Campbell, talks about the archetype of the hero. And I've never verbalized this to anyone, but I resonate with the idea that illness or whatever shadow experience anyone has been through, trauma, is actually a hero's journey, because you go through this experience, it takes you out of your regular routine because it's so dramatic. It may be a quick event. It may take a decade like it did for me. And then there's a period of healing and integration. And in Joseph Campbell, he talks about returning to the community to share what you've learned. And that's the final piece of the hero's journey. They don't just go off and have an adventure and slay the dragon. They come back and share what they've learned and help the community. And I think that resonates for me in terms of wounded, like a way to frame the wounded healer archetype as a hero's journey. That we come back from it and share what we've learned to help others.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. beautiful reminder for myself as well, that that is really what our lives, life and the web that I mentioned, that's what our lives are about, service. And that's a huge Bhakti Yoga component, is that your life is about service in the highest. Hanuman, who I mentioned, is the Indian deity archetype. He's a servant of God. He is, he's, and but there's a line that says, when I know who I am, when I don't know who I am, I serve you. So when I'm not aligned in my own truth, I'm a servant of God. But when I do know who I am you, which goes with what we were saying. But serving the community, I just get so, I'm so passionate about those concepts of feeding the being of service in that way. Being of service in the biggest way possible. Knowing that you're here doing your work, that you're on your mission, that you're supporting other people be in the world and grow. I feel like that is my role, to be almost not in the community, but of somebody who is feeding it. So I see that very much. That means mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm.
Did you always have an awareness of your mission and your purpose, or is that something that... did you have any struggle to understand yourself in that way, or did you always feel yourself to have that role?
I did. I was never not myself. I was always esoteric since I was 9 years old. I studied energy healing and Reiki and tarot, and my mother, I did had an astrology reading for me when I was 4, so spirit in my life, I grew up Jewish, like heavy spirit in my life forever, like so that, but... In my 20s, like everybody, I was lost and feeling completely not like I was. Because, again, the world reflects not this.
Right, right.
And you have to do serious work and get a job. And I went to college and I studied art and communication, which I teach now. I teach web design and art, which I do. And again, it all is a part of my own hero's journey. It's a part of my, you know, I lost myself. Nobody told me, like, you're clairvoyant and you need to be doing energy work with people. That didn't, like, nobody handed that to me as, like, this is your mission, this is your dharma, go for it. It was a process of discovery, for sure. And it's still going on, and it's, I write in my blog that it's one of my favorite things that have come through me, and it's the soul discovers itself. It reveals itself over time. We don't, I think, know who we are. That's the mystery. That's the journey of life. Definitely I went through that process, and now I'm able to help heal other people as they feel that way and say, I'm not in alignment. But you are all the time. I mean, sometimes we're making choices that we're not. But again, the faith is that we are.
There's a thread that has been through your life that shows you that this has always been an element, but there was deeper recognition over time, and this continues for you even now, that this is your purpose. It's sort of like maybe getting... Is it kind of like colors getting brighter? Like there was always blue, but now the blue is getting more intense? Or, I mean, I don't know. Like, is that what it...
For me, okay. So let's see if this... I do so many things creatively. I'm an artist. I do energy work. I sing. I perform on stage. I've done acting in my life. Now I started leading ceremonies. So infinite everything to me was always, how do I put this all together? How do I become this, how do I step into this role, and what does that look like? And there was no reflection in the world I wasn't aware of somebody who had all of those qualities and what they did in the world. What do you do with all of that? When you do readings for people, where you can see their energy, where you can give counseling services. And so now that I understand the role of a healer, who you do all of that through these different modalities, and I've acknowledged that part of myself that really does this work, and I've learned the authenticity required from being somebody in that role, And I've really understood that. Now I see my mission in a clearer way. And the 2012 shift in finding community through Asheville and 3DL, I went to a festival, and it really blew me open, where I'm going there actually in a week or two. So finding conscious community was a huge awakening to me that I could, that this is my calling, and I am called to live my life in service in this way. The Rasa that says the Sangha, the Satsang, I want to say impeccable, irreplaceable, but I guess the word would be like priceless. Like, there's nothing that can replace that Satsang, that finding those souls that speak your language.
Yes, I've been lucky enough to have that in my life, but I also think the internet has provided me with even more connection. So I include you in my community in that way. I think resonating with people that, you know, we may not have ever met in person, but there's so many people that I've met in the past couple of months who I resonate very deeply with, and it's such a gift. The times we're living in are really amazing. So just what is the festival you're going to in Asheville? What is that?
Well, thank you for including me in your community.
Oh, yes.
So much. That's amazing. It's called 3 Days of Light. It's a community in Asheville that they put it together. It's actually going to be in Old Fort. So you can go to 3 Days of Light Gathering or type that into Facebook if you want to look it up. It's August 28th through 30th, and it's a conscious festival. It's a community of people, light workers, who are here. We call it a family reunion because it's people who are attached to that web who know that they're here to be of service, and they want to raise their consciousness to the next level. And that's what the intention of the festival is, leveling up and being in a space of community. We don't get that in the world. Something that the coolest thing for me that I experienced there is that I saw how those of us who are really in this tune, we live kind of scattered all over the globe. And we are I call it the web of light. We are the light web. We're anchoring in this consciousness, and we're in all these different places, and we're like family, but we're radically spread out on the earth.
Before my illness kicked in, I lived in a place where there were lots of like-minded people. It was such a joy that I lived in this community that had a lot of artists and healers, and I felt my tribe type of thing. And it was like an everyday experience to be surrounded by people just like me. And because of the circumstances of being ill, I needed to move back to my hometown. And it was very jarring to me because I felt the way I did when I was younger. I felt different. I felt like nobody understood me. All those things came up. And maybe they came up for clearing, because now I've been living here for a few years. I've really come to understand that this is a part of the scattering, and there's a purpose to it, because I am here to help the people around me. When I keep myself aligned and balanced, and I leave my door, I'm helping everyone. I'm completely aware of what I'm doing here. And I wasn't at first. At first I felt really upset about it, but now I really understand the scattering and that we are needed in different places.
Now I want to reiterate some of what you just said, because there was so much potency in what you just said. The first, you said, I had to return, just for the people listening on the hero's journey, I had to return